2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andreas Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at KSLPodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
This is Cougar Sports Saturday. Cougar Sports Saturday.
A presentation of KSL Sports.
Got it for three. Cougars by 20.
Every Saturday, all year long. BYU Sports Talk by Cougar fans.
For Cougar fans.
It's Cougar Sports Saturday.
Here are your hosts, Mitch Harper and Matt Biamonte.
Home of BYU Sports.
KSL News Radio, 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
Welcome back to Cougar Sports Saturday here on KSL News Radio. All summer long, it's been fantastic to catch up with coaches and players alike. And right now, it's a special treat for us to be talking with the offensive coordinator down at BYU, Aaron Roderick. Aaron, thanks for spending some time with us again. We really appreciate it.
It's great to be here.
I remember back at the end of spring ball, because you've been asked the quarterback question a million times, and you'll be asked it a million more until someone's named. But you said that you didn't want to have any comments until you had a chance to speak with them. When you spoke with them, what were the words you said to them in terms of the next steps, summer, and getting prepared for the ongoing battle in the fall?
Well, the first thing I covered with those guys was that it's a long season, and there's a good chance we're going to need more than one of them.
Yep.
And, you know, there's about 20 teams a year that make it through 12 games with one quarterback. And, you know, that leaves the other 110 teams are going to need more than one. And so the odds of us needing more than one guy to get through this year are high. And so we talked about that, and we talked about the importance of being professional, pushing each other, competing with each other, but also being ready to handle whatever decisions we make and handle it with professionalism so that you're ready to play when your time comes. Because, you know, sometimes I've seen in the past, maybe a guy doesn't take the news real well, kind of goes into pouting mode, and then all of a sudden, bam, it's his chance to play, and he's not ready because he maybe didn't handle tough news the right way. So we've sort of prepared for that. And then just, I think another thing we talked about is that each of these guys are still young. Jaron and Baylor are sophomores, and Conover's a freshman. So there's a lot of football left to be played in their careers, not to mention a full, you know, the season this year ahead of us is 12-game season. But there's a lot of ball left to be played, and so there's a lot of good things that can still happen for all of those guys. It would not be impossible for each of them to still have a great career at BYU. I mean, that can shake out a lot of different ways, and so we're just – you know, those are the most important things right now to keep in perspective, and then to just keep competing one day at a time, get better each day, and then you know, we'll see what happens.
How valuable is it to have a quarterback battle where two of the guys are going into their fourth season in the program? That's pretty unique.
It is unique, and you know, people keep asking me about our personnel and you know, who we lost and who we have coming back, and I don't look too much at who we lost because you can't do anything about that. We lost some good players, but when you look at our depth chart, there's a lot of players on that roster there or on that depth chart that have played a lot of football, and the quarterbacks included. You know, Baylor Romney's played a lot of football. He's been around. He's played in games. He's played in big games. He played quite a bit last year. Zach had such a good year. You forget Baylor got in a lot of games and played well. And he played well the year before. Jaron played really well for us in limited opportunities. And so I have a lot of confidence in those guys because I've seen them do it in a real game, and no reason why they can't do it again.
We've seen snippets of Jaren from 2019, and as you mentioned, we've seen quite a bit from Baylor in various games, and even going back to 2019. We have not seen Jacob. From the doctor's ball, what's a skill set or two that's really impressed you from Jacob Conover?
He's a good passer, man. He can throw it. He's got a good arm. He's accurate. And he has a lot of confidence in himself. There is an obvious air of confidence about him. Maybe you might even call it swagger. He's got that thing. You can see why he won so many games in high school. He's tons of confidence and sort of an infectious personality. It's not obnoxious. He's not arrogant, but he reminds me a lot of Steve Sarkisian. I remember when I got here, Sark was the QB. I remember being in the huddle, sort of learning the offense, being nervous, and I'm in the huddle, and Sark calls the play, and he just has a way of making you believe this play is going to score. And Conover kind of has that about him. He's a competitive dude.
Talk with Aaron Roderick here on KSL News Radio, Cougar Sports Saturday, and BYU football fall camp's going to be opening up on August 5th and counting down the days to that. But right now it's the off season, and a lot, you mentioned personnel is a big talking point this time of the year when it comes to the off season. And I was just curious with the quarterback besides Jaren, Baylor, and Conover, how many other quarterbacks do you have in the room? Soljay's still there. Jake Jensen. Who else do you have?
Working our way through that. Jake Jensen. I guess it's time to say this. He's going to go play for a junior college in California. I think he went to Contra Costa College in NorCal. I'm pretty sure that's the one. We've had Rhett Riley on the team the last couple of years, and Rhett is may or may not be with us. We certainly are welcoming him back. He's also looking at what his options might be to get on the field, which don't blame him for that at all. And he's been a great member of our team, and so he might be with us. But then we're always looking. I mean, it never ends. Recruiting never ends. And with the transfer portal, you always have to be alert for who the next best available player is. And so we're trying to get at least one QB per year, one new QB per year on scholarship. And so if that's a portal guy, it's a portal guy. If it's a freshman, high school freshman, then so be it. If it's a JC guy, I mean, I'm open to anything. Just we got to make sure we keep the room stocked with good players that fit our program. And, if you keep enough good guys in there competing with each other, then the cream will rise to the top.
How do you envision working out the repetitions and the playing time to incorporate some of the new guys who didn't participate in spring football, Puka Nacua, Samson Nacua, Dallin Holker? How are you going to get them into the mix?
We are very thorough in how we plan our practices. Every rep is scripted. Every rep has a purpose. Every play. When we go against our defense, like in scrimmage type settings, they'll just call the game like they'll just call the defense like a game, and so we don't know exactly what defense we're going to see. But when we go into scout team periods and stuff like that, we script the defenses we want to see, right down to which coverages or blitzes or whatever that, and in addition to that, we script who's going to be in those plays. I mean, we plan it out. You don't just haphazardly go out there and then at the end of the day go, oh, how many reps did Tyler Allgeier get? I mean, there's a plan before practice. What's the right load for Tyler Allgeier? What's the right load for Peeney? And then how do we get some of these younger guys enough reps to find out who they are? You do the same thing with your receivers and your tight ends. You want to get your veteran players that are proven guys enough work that they're staying sharp. And then you want to give whatever's. Then you want to be smart about what's left, and there's a plan before you go out there again. It's not just like, you know, random.
Talk with offense coordinator Aaron Roderick here on KSL News Radio. And I remember back the year when you were off from coaching in 2017, you studied a lot of programs. I remember you mentioning that when you joined the staff in 2018, you studied likes of like Northwestern, yeah, NFL teams. I'm curious, this offseason, has there been any maybe pro offenses or college programs that maybe piqued your interest in terms of studying and just kind of learning what's out there in the world of football?
Yeah, too many to name. And that was one of the really great things about last year, the COVID year,
sure,
in, you know, quotation marks. We had several months. Spring ball ended early. We weren't allowed to go on the road recruiting. We weren't even allowed to go in the building at work, you know, and we couldn't be around our players. So here we were, college football coaches, with months of time on our hands. I had a lot of fun studying other teams in that time, and we were able to, we can get those, whatever those games are, or cut-ups are, on our computers from home, and I watched a lot of football then. And then this offseason, we've done it again. You know, we each, some of it's assigned projects where I'll ask certain members of the staff, hey, go study this, go study that, come up with some projects for each guy, and then guys report back, and we'll dive into these things and see if there's anything there that can help make us better. And then sometimes it's just for fun, you know, you just want to see, hey, why is this team so good? What are they doing? What's their secret? You know, and so, yeah, we do a lot of that. And then with the NFL and college football.
What's the plan for the rest of summer before fall camp for the offensive staff? I imagine there's some time off in there. And then maybe, as you said, yeah, these every, you know, play in camp is, there's a purpose, there's a script. I imagine there's a lot of time that goes into getting that prepared as well.
Yeah, we've got the first five practices of fall camp already planned out. They're planned out, detailed, scripted. We're ready to roll. We do get some family time off in July. There's a recruiting dead period in July where you can't have recruits on campus anyway, so that's the perfect time to – Kalani gives us that time for family. And then when we come back for fall camp, we can just roll right into it because we're already set for that. So right now it's players are working out. They're doing player run practices. We have position meetings with them. They'll continue with that stuff through July and get a little break right the week before camp, and then we go. And the idea is that you're staying sharp, you're in great shape, and you're hungry. You come to camp like excited about football, and that's I think there's no way not to be excited this year. I mean, it's just fun to be back. It's gonna be fun to have fans in the stands.
A few more moments here with the offensive coordinator down at BOU, Aaron Roderick. How important is it to get the offensive line up to speed? And what I mean by that is you lose Brady Christensen, you lose some NFL caliber offensive lineman. How important is it to get that group solidified in fall camp to have another great offensive year?
Well, it's huge because everything starts with them. If you can't block people, you got no chance. So it doesn't matter how many good skill guys we have if we can't block. But, I don't look at who left. Brady was a great player, but I look at who we have to work with, and that group has a lot of guys that have played a lot of football. So, yeah, it's hard to lose Brady Christensen. He's such a good player, but I'm really glad that Blake Freeland is the guy taking his place, because Blake started games 2 years ago in 2019. He started against Boise State and started at right tackle the rest of the season. And then this past season, he rotated all year. He played half the season, you know, so he's a veteran player who's 6'9" and super athletic. So, you know, he's taking over at left tackle. We'll be good. I feel great about that. And, you know, Harris LeChance at right tackle, that's another guy who's a 6'8" and athletic, played a lot of football for us. He's a veteran. And our right guard spot that is open, you know, you got Joe Tukuafu, who's been a multi-game starter last year at center and can easily play guard, easy. And Connor Pay, who's also played a lot of football last year as a freshman. I don't know if a lot of people didn't notice the bowl game, James was out. Joe started the game and got hurt early in the game. Connor Pay came in, and we didn't skip a beat. We played the whole game with Connor Pay at center. He hadn't played a rep of center all season. All he did was snap every day before practice, and then he'd go play guard or tackle. And he came in, and we didn't skip a beat. So when you just consider that these guys have all played in a lot of games, and now you still got James Empey, and you still got Clark Barrington, who are 3-4 year starters, we're going to be fine. And so, yeah, Brady's great. I love him. We're going to miss him, but these guys can play. We'll be good.
Is Nanu, Keanu Saliapaga, is he healthy, ready to go for fall camp?
That is in question right now. Yep, he's not back yet.
And it's, you mentioned Connor Pay. You know, he that bowl game, what's even more impressive is that the O-line coach was there and Jeff Grimes, you know, and a guy that was heavily involved with the O-line too, they're not there, and he steps in and still performs at a high level against a pretty good UCF team.
That was one of the more impressive things I've seen in my coaching career was the way Connor played in that game. That was unbelievable.
Yeah. Could he be someone that could play almost any spot on the line? Is he that type of lineman?
He's versatile like that. He can play tackle, guard, or center. And five-spot linemen are rare. You know, usually you have sort of inside guys and then tackle-type guys, and he can do it all.
Last couple things here for you, Coach. You know, the wide receiver room, Gunnar Romney and Neil Powell back, and those guys, that's a great starting point for your wide receiver room to have those guys. But it felt like Chris Jackson was someone who made some significant strides in spring ball. Him, Cody Epps, I know he's battled some injuries, but then this wide receiver room feels like it's maybe as talented as BYU's ever had, and you could speak that. You had experience being in a wide receiver room at BYU, so this is a pretty loaded group.
Yeah, it's a good group. You mentioned everybody knows Gunner. He's been a productive player for us. He's a deep threat. Neil Pa'u, I think, is the most underrated player in our whole program. Very unsung player last year, but that guy is a good football player. He is a matchup problem for anybody we play. Teams that want to play man coverage against us, Neil just abuses corners. When you try to cover him with somebody bigger, he's just too quick. He's too athletic. He's a tough guy. He's really smart, excellent blocker. You know, I think if he stays healthy, I believe he'll play in the NFL. He's a good football player that doesn't get a lot of attention for some reason, but I promise you the teams that play against us know who he is. And then we've added the Nakua brothers, and then you mentioned some of these younger guys that are up and coming. So what's left now to do is just go prove it. You know, we got to go do it on Saturdays against good defenses. So is the material there? Yes. These guys are good players. Now we got to go do it against 7 Power 5 teams and Boise State and South Florida. I mean, these guys are good teams. So it's going to be a challenge, but I got a lot of belief in these guys.
And you also got guys like Braden Cosper, Keanu Hill, Tanner Wall. So, yeah, we could keep going on. There's a lot of talent.
Yeah, Keanu, man. Every time Keanu got an opportunity last year, he stepped up and played well. Cody Epps, all through camp, was, like, right there with all the veteran players. And you mentioned he had a few injury issues that kind of held him back. But he was a big-time high school player that he's got a really bright future ahead of him. Chris Jackson's one of the fastest guys on our team. It's competitive, and they're going to have to fight to get on the field because those veteran guys can play. And so, but we're going to probably need them all this year. You know, with this schedule, you know, your depth will get tested. And I thought in 2018 and 2019, our depth got exposed in the second half of the season. And last year, our depth was a strength, and now this year our depth is going to get tested even more with the physicality of these teams that we're going to play. So we're going to need every guy we have.
He is offensive coordinator Aaron Roderick. We appreciate it. Have some good family time, good summer. Beware the Beaver supercharger stop on your way down to Vegas in a little bit. That place can get... Now, here's what's interesting. They have put in like 14 new stalls, so maybe it's fine, but I've been scarred, so we're referring to driving electric vehicles and charging on a road trip.
I know
trip.
Nothing about that, Matt.
Welcome to the cult that is the Tesla owner.
Here's a random question for you, speaking of being a Tesla owner. Do you use hold mode when you drive?
I forget which one that
Bold
is.
Bold mode is when you stop and it just automatically goes, like an 8 shows up on the screen. Because you can set it to be like a gasoline car where you just roll.
I'm not on the one that's like a gasoline
car. Me neither. So you're on hold.
Yeah, okay. I couldn't remember the names of them, but I'm on that one.
I've got reverse, neutral, drive.
Hold is the one to be on. That is, yeah. It's phenomenal. Yeah, it's you know, it's also cool, Mitch. You only drive with one foot.
Man,
it's phenomenal.
Cool. So. I'm envious of you guys with the Tesla. Well, Coach, we appreciate you spending so much time with us and being generous, and really appreciate it. Good luck this season.
Great to be here. Thanks for having me.
Thanks, Coach.
I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.